The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast. The Premier League back this weekend. 10 games for you to get stuck into here with William Hill. It's myself, Dave Kellner, here in the studio alongside Mr. Lee Phelps.
Hello.
And Derek McGovern. The winning machine on the line at the moment, Derek. You're in fine form.
Yes, another 5-1 winner to go with my Arsenal one the week before. Palace, of course, to win it wherever they won at the weekend. Southampton. It's like you know the Naps table, which I think you're too embarrassed now to reveal the standings. You know when you see at Cheltenham and there's a favourite to pull them double in at the back of the jockeys having a cigar and reading the magazine. That's like me and you two are under the whip. It's the class telling.
Lee likes being under the whip, actually. Now that you mention it,
I'm well used to it. I'm just pleased. DK's been like a miserable so-and-so all morning. You've made him laugh, Derek, so I'm happy.
Not true. Yeah, it is true, actually, listen.
Yeah. No, not even just this morning, to be fair.
No, all the time.
Well done, Derek. Though.
Yeah, well
I'm
done,
Derek. Absolutely chuffed.
I'm really pleased for you as well, Derek. let's get stuck into this weekend.
You're going
then.
Fourth for the Naps this week.
It's the expectation now, though, Derek.
You don't bother.
I can live with
that expectation.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm used to it.
Let's get stuck into this weekend then. We'll start off with the live games as per usual, and we've got one at lunchtime on Saturday. Hull versus Newcastle, 12:45 p.m. Hull are 17-10, the draw 21-10, Newcastle 17-10. Lee, three straight losses for Hull following that 2-0 win against Everton. They've actually failed to score in 10 of their last 14 in the league, Hull, now in the relegation zone. It's going to be an uphill struggle from here for Hull.
It looks that way, doesn't it? Just to add to that, in the bottom three, you're saying, already the second bottom home scorers in the division as well. And the main strikers are injured. It seems a long time ago that they were in the Europa League and enjoying those trips away. It seems to have really caught up with them this season, and they didn't even do that much in Europe. I don't think an awful lot of Hull. I think with a few of these games this weekend, we're going to start seeing the fear of losing taking over a little bit as well. So teams aren't going to want to lose, especially at home. I think Hull and Sunderland, that applies to this weekend. As for Newcastle, just waiting to see what happens with Papi Cisse. I mean, we were told that he probably landed yesterday back from the Africa Cup of Nations. Hasn't really done much while he's been out there, by all accounts. Not much match time, not much in the way of keeping himself, match fit, if you like. And they found it very hard to get any information on him while he's been away. So we'll see what happens there. He scored two in the reverse fixture. I think they were 2-0 down to Hull and Papi Cisse levelled it. So they obviously need him. Without him, I think they struggle for goals as well. I think they've only scored, they've scored 10 maybe on the road this season. If he's playing, I think Newcastle could edge this. If he's not, I'm going for the draw and under 2.5 goals.
Okay.
I know that's sitting on the fence a little bit, but I think the team news is important when you've got your leading striker possibly playing, possibly not. I mean, you could argue that even if he plays, he's not going to be quite right because he's obviously had a long trip back and he's been thrown straight into the first team for a 12:45 start. I think that could make a difference if he's playing or if he comes on. But as it is, I think Hull will set up tight. I think Newcastle would probably accept the draw, and I can't see it being high on the goals at all.
21-10 for the draw, and if you fancy playing draw and under 2.5 goals in the game, that's in the market at 5-2. What do you make, Derek, to the appointment of John Carver until the end of the season at the very least?
I haven't stopped laughing.
cheap.
He must be getting paid. Well, me and you are getting paid, Lee. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, they've given him a job while at the same time saying, well, we couldn't find anybody else. Yeah, you may as well have it, John. And now they're still looking for a new man because they've got to get someone to do his former job, staring menacingly at the fourth official. I mean, what does he do? His audition for the job is no winning for. Three defeats and a draw, and he gets the job. I mean, Newcastle have become a laughing stock. The managing director, Lee Charnley, said he's confident Carver can guide them to a place in the top 10, only if they release a single. Because I've got a feeling they'll go down. Honestly, the 25s.
And Newcastle.
Ron always used to say, there's a side that'll go on the glass mountain from about February. If it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Newcastle. I know you look at the squad and you think, no, they're too good to go down. They said the same about West Ham a few seasons ago. They said the same about Nottingham Forest. They said the same about Telisa. But you know, I'm not having it. I think Newcastle could go down. I think Hull have got a bit of a squeaky. I know they haven't scored in a month of Sundays, and you know all the strikers are out. But you look at their recent record. No goal. Five of their last games they've been scoreless, and yet out of the blue they beat Everton 2-0. You know they get results out of the blue, and I've got a sneaking suspicion that they might just get a result out of the blue here, because I think Newcastle are there to be opposed right now, especially with this man in charge.
Okay, Hull 17-10, the draw 21-10, Newcastle 17-10, Lee going with the draw and under 2.5 goals at 5-2, and Derek looking at Hull to win the game at 17-10.
One other bet that I mean, remember way back when I had a bee in my bonnet about the halftime draws in the 12:45 kickoffs. I think this is made to measure for that bet. I mean, you're never going to get a huge price, but I still get tweets about it now. People still backing it, and it tends to land a lot. So you know, I think you know, maybe even go for the nil-nil correct score at halftime in this one.
Funny you mention that, because Craig Forsyth, who is a professional punter that works with us, big Newcastle fan,
very similar to myself.
Very similar to yourself in terms of
you're a big Newcastle fan, are you?
In terms of stature, anyway, physique. He is convinced that first half high scoring half is the bet to have with Newcastle
really?
At the moment, because they come out under John Carver, come out and just go gung ho in that first half and attack. So he's convinced that that's an angle in at the moment, and the market's not reacted. So he mentioned last time he was in.
They hadn't scored a first half goal for Young, said they before. That's
before, but he says the market is still priced as if they're that team.
That
they were under Pardew in the first half of the season, where in the last 5-6 games under Carver, they just go for it from the first whistle.
That is interesting. I would like to point out he's a horse racing pro punter, though.
He bets on sports as well.
I'll take it back then.
So there you go. So they're his thoughts anyway.
I'm so misguided, Derek. I'd still take the pro punter on.
Yeah, me too. I would.
I do this professionally.
Yeah, not very well. I would as well.
I broadcast professionally anyway.
You know, under Carver, it might be true, but it's not being borne out, is it? In recent results, it's not only be getting goal fests in Newcastle's games recently. You know, there's been a 0-1, a 0-2, a 1-2.
Yeah,
not having it.
Okay, Chelsea.
Neither of us are taking any notice of the pro punter. I like it.
It's up to the listeners.
Keep his nose out.
It's up to the listeners to decide now, isn't it?
To be fair to Craig, I don't think he ever put his nose in. I think DK's just shoved it in there for him.
Yeah, go on, Gary.
Let's leave him alone, shall we? This poor guy.
Big match of the weekend then, 5:30 PM kickoff. Do we usually have a big match like this at 5:30 on a Saturday?
It's a strange time, isn't it?
This one.
It's like what the Spanish do, isn't it?
Hmm. I'm not a fan, to be honest.
Okay.
Chelsea versus Manchester City, Saturday, 5:30 PM. Chelsea 23-20, the draw 11-5. Manchester City 13-5. Headline offers: Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is 4-1. Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win 5-1. Chelsea's win at Liverpool. Win against Liverpool on Tuesday night came at a bit of a cost, Derek, with injuries to Cesc Fabregas and Philip Luis, and we're recording this on Friday morning. We're still not sure if Diego Costa is going to be banned or not, but big match for both teams, and Chelsea coming into this a little bit light in terms of personnel now.
Yeah, it looks as though Costa might get banned. Might need for the stamp. I mean, Jose Mourinho sends him out now. He doesn't ruffle his forehead. He licks the back of his head. I mean, he's ridiculous. And I have to say, Chelsea were in two games against Liverpool and a game against Bradford last week have been really disappointing. Fabregas has disappeared. Hazard is not quite the shining light he has been earlier in the season. Costa, I'm telling you. Useless. I'm telling you.
I'm in it, Derek.
He was good midweek.
What? He just
mixes it, doesn't he?
Thorn in the side.
No. He hasn't got it. I'd have Torres before him. That's how bad he is.
Torres has refound his form, by the way.
I know. But I mean, the fact remains that City are nearly 3-1 here, and they're just too good a side to go down. I know that they got beat by Middlesbrough last week, but The preparation was ridiculous, wasn't it? That 3,000-mile flight from Abu Dhabi.
Why did they do that, Derek?
God knows. Frank Lampard was still... I still haven't finished his in-flight meal when the kick-off came. I mean, Vincent Kompany, you know, they were worried as well because Kompany picked up a yellow card, Fernandinho picked up a yellow card, and Sergio Aguero picked up 3 scratch cards. That's it. I don't know what they were doing, but they deserve to get beat sweet in a match like that. But they won't lose this. I think they're a better side. And I still think City are going to win the league, even though they've gone off the boil a little bit with Yaya Toure away. Chelsea right now are a team to oppose. And all this great defensive record they've got, I'm wondering how, because I'm looking at defence and it's there to be torn apart. Terry is playing on memory right now, John Terry. Seriously, I'm not having Chelsea at all. Stop Hazard and you stop Chelsea.
Chelsea are 23-20 to win this one, Lee. The draw is 11-5. Man City 13-5. I just wonder how Manchester City are going to compete in the middle of the pitch against this Chelsea side with the absence of Yaya Toure. I think he's a big miss for them.
Yeah, he is. I think, you know, if Costa isn't there, and I think it's a pretty safe bet that he'll get a ban.
That's going to affect the prices, isn't it? I think so.
I mean, when we've talked to traders in the past and pro punters, they've kind of always said that you shouldn't take any notice of team news unless it's a massive player. I mean, I don't know how much it does affect them, because I think if he's not there and Fabregas is out injured as well, I think Mourinho will go with a very solid side and maybe even play like one of those false number nines and not really have a striker up top. Maybe have Remy and Drogba on the bench to bring on if he needs them.
Maybe play Ramirez.
I think he'd just be happy getting... I mean, if Chelsea draw this, fine. No problem with that, is there? Still 5 points clear. You look at what they've done so far. Chelsea have dropped 14 points. Man City have dropped 19 so far in the 22 games. After this match, 15 games left. You know, if you work that out, and if the form continues in the same vein, and consistent teams usually do continue in the same sort of vein, Chelsea would need to drop quite a lot of points. If they're 5 points clear after this weekend, say, they need to drop a lot of points for City to be able to catch them. Because no way City are going to win 15 straight. It's unlikely anyway that they're going to win 15 straight. So I still think Chelsea win the title, whatever happens in this game, to be honest with you. If they do what they've done so far this season, the remainder, they'll finish on around 88 points, which will have been enough to win the league in, I think, 3 of the last 4 years. The game itself, I'm just not sure how City are going to approach it. I think they need to win it. But Pellegrini doesn't really strike me as the kind of manager at the minute who wants to go out all guns blazing from minute one. If they don't do that and they allow Chelsea to set the pace of the game, then I think Chelsea will get what they want, and that's a pretty boring, low-scoring draw. You have to think, though, as Derek's kind of said, that there's so much quality in this City side that they will go for it. And the price is way too big. It's like the Arsenal prices, the way that you backed, wasn't it? Was that your nap? I think it was your nap as well, there, wasn't it? One of the many winning naps. But it's the same thing applies, doesn't it? I don't think Man City are going to win the game. Chelsea have lost one match at home under Jose Mourinho as a Chelsea manager. They do very, very well against the big clubs. And City don't, to be honest with you. Their away record against the other big clubs isn't particularly great. Their away record this season, it's all right. They've got 10 clean sheets in 30 away trips under Pellegrini since he's been in charge. On the prices, I'd agree with Derek. The bet that I do like, and unfortunately we haven't got prices for it at the minute, is I've banged on about this before, it's the Man City to have more booking points than Chelsea. In their 11 away games so far, in 8 of those, they've had more booking points than the home team.
Okay.
Reason being is that, if you haven't heard this before, I'll be very quick if you have, they're kind of like that South American tactic in the World Cup where they stop play by niggly little fouls in the middle of the park, regain the shape, and then the match continues. Eventually, they accumulate into yellow cards. You see it time and time again, when the cards are given. Just look back over their away games this season in the Premier League. And that's against big clubs, small clubs. Doesn't really matter. I'll wait to see the price. I think it'll be worth doing because there's no way the traders will price it up like it's 8 out of 11 times this season. So I'd take that bet as my main bet in this one. I'm not really sure on the match other than the value shout has got to be City, or maybe City in the draw, because at least you're getting 2 results out of 3 in a massive match then.
If you're playing the handicap markets, Manchester City plus one is 7-10. 7-10 Man City.
Again, that's not a bad price for a team of their calibre. and you're getting two results.
Yeah,
if forced to go for an outright, I'd probably go for the draw because Chelsea would settle for that. And Man City might do as well.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure that City would, but Chelsea definitely would, wouldn't he? It's a Mourinho's MO without a 5 points clear. If the 5 points clear come the end of the match, he'd be chuffed.
Phil, to be Arsenal, Tottenham and Chelsea. Arsenal twice, Tottenham and Chelsea, Man City away from home.
Yeah.
Under Pellegrini, that is. Great game, though.
Yeah, should be. It should
not
be
a title decider, though.
Don't you think
I
think
can't be with 15 games.
If Chelsea win,
points up for grabs.
If Chelsea win.
I think they win the title anyway, but there's 45 points up for grabs. Still.
I understand. I just think if Chelsea win, that could be done and dusted.
Eight points clear. They'd have to,
that's huge
at
this point in the season.
They'd have to drop
season.
9 points and City win everything.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Can't, can it?
On to Sunday's live games then, starting with Arsenal-Aston Villa at 1:30 p.m. Arsenal 2-7, the draw 4-1, Aston Villa 11-1, Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win 5-4, Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win is 25-1. You'd think, Lee, this would be straightforward for Arsenal, but it rarely is. They've won four straight now, a couple of convincing wins in the Premier League, firstly at home to Stoke and then away at Manchester City, and favourites for the FA Cup as well, having won at Brighton last weekend. However, they've not won three straight Premier League games this season, so they'll have to halt that trend, and it's 2-7. 2-7 Arsenal to win this game, Lee.
Yeah, it's very short, isn't it? I've got a daft bet here, and I'm not quite sure how I can... There's no real...
As opposed to the rest of the repertoire.
Yeah, yeah. There's no real way of justifying it, other than the fact that, like you kind of alluded to there, every so often, Arsenal have one of those home games where you think, what? And they've been playing very, very well, Arsenal. Remember that 2-2 draw they had with Hull earlier in the season? That kind of game where they needed Danny Welbeck's last-minute equaliser to rescue the point. They drew 2-2 with Swansea at home last season. They have kind of a couple of these results every single season where they inexplicably let a few goals in against a team that they should easily beat. The team who did it in 2013, start of the season, was Aston Villa, of course, yep. And they won 3-1. Now, Aston Villa struggle for goals like mad. Obviously, you know, I think they've scored four away goals all season. And I was looking at Aston Villa to score two or more goals in the match, over 1.5 Aston Villa goals, which sounds absolutely ludicrous, doesn't it? But it's a big price and I'm tempted by it. It's the sort of price that you sometimes get an away team to just win by. 13-2.
Okay.
For them to score two goals in the match. It's an absolute flyer. Arsenal probably win to nil, do it comfy, and then, you know, that's all she wrote. Wins 1-0, 2-0, and that's it. But I'm going to have a little play on that. I just got a gut feeling about it that, you know, Villa might have a little bit about them. The man who scored two of those three goals, by the way, was Benteke as well. So 13-2 looks a big price.
Derek, Lee mentioned that result away at the Emirates last season, and they've actually got a decent record at Arsenal in the Premier League. Chelsea and Manchester United, the only two teams that have picked up more points in Premier League history at the Emirates than Aston Villa.
I know.
It's a big prize, this one.
It's quite incredible. The last six seasons Villa have been there, and you know they're probably no better or any worse than they have been in any of those six seasons right now. And they've won three times there at the Emirates. I mean, I can't work that out. It bears out what I've always said about Villa. You know, you're prepared to back them at lumpy prices away from home. It's a leap of faith to back them 11-1 here. I mean, Arsenal are playing really well right now. And 2-7 Arsenal doesn't interest me in the slightest. I couldn't touch it because it's Arsenal. And, you know, they're always liable to throw in, as Lee has pointed out, a few wobblers. But I just can't see Villa beating them. But what I can see is Villa beating them with a two-goal start, which is evens. You know, because... You know, Villa don't get pounded, do they? When they lose games, it's 1-0. You know, they keep it tight, and that's what they'll do. They'll hope to catch something on the break, and they're always set up for that anyway to play the personnel they've got. I don't see Arsenal dribbling rings around, let's put it that way, but I don't see Villa winning hard as much as I'd like them to. I'm going to go for Villa with a two-goal start that evens.
Do you not think Villa are any worse than in previous years then, Derek? Well, they do look a little bit worse this time around.
Yeah, you might say that, but they're probably in the position in the league table that they've been in the last five or six years. They've won as many away games as Man United this season. Mm-hmm.
This is what they are, DK. They're a 15th, 16th place team.
It's just those goals, isn't it, this year? But 11 goals in 22 Premier League games. They usually score more than that.
But they are good in front of their own goal. You know, the defensive record is right up there with some of the best in the Premier League. You know, so that's, you know, which is, I find, you know, people were all quick to criticise their performance in front of the opposition goal, but you know, I think they're not bad in front of their own, you know, their own goal. What they conceded, they've conceded 25 goals so far, which is the fifth best defensive record in the Premier League.
City have conceded only one goal away from home more than Man City.
No, it's not bad, is it? Not at all, yeah. Great.
Okay, so Aston Villa plus two for Derek and Lee. You're going with Aston Villa to score two or more in the game at 13-2. Let's look at Southampton versus Swansea, which is the 4 p.m. Live televised kickoff on Sunday. Southampton 8-13. The draw is 13-5. Swansea in the market at 5-1. Derek, Southampton are pretty difficult to break down at St Mary's, but these prices heavily skewed in their favour. And they only drew at home against Ipswich in the FA Cup before beating them in the replay. And that, well, it was a shock for some, that loss at home against against Palace, Derek.
Well, yeah. Well, enough for me, obviously. And Swansea at the same price. I mean, I'm gutted that Wilfred Bonny has gone from Swansea, because this would have been a meeting of Bonny and Klein for Southampton. Nice. I've been waiting for this fixture all season for that. He's gone.
Still got it in, though. Still crying about it.
Yeah,
in.
I did. I mean, Southampton, I've never known a team more overrated by the bookies. They shouldn't be, because they're not one of the glamour sides. But bookies are always, you know, keeping them mightily short, and I'm not having it. I've opposed them so many times this season. Most of the time I've come up looking like a right... But last week it worked out well, and it'll work out well this week. Swansea are too big, 5-1, just too big to win at Southampton. That's the end of.
Okay, Swansea 5-1 for Derek. Only one win in 9 away from home for Swansea. That's the concern, Lee, I suppose. And Wilfred Bonny having departed.
And Gylfi Sigurdsson getting himself inexplicably sent off, now missing for 3 games. That's 70% of their away goals gone with Sigurdsson and Bonny out. Scored 10 in total, and those two got 7. If you need me to explain what 70% is, probably don't.
Well, thank you for
By this point. Because of that, I struggle to see them scoring. You know, they've been letting goals in as well. 5 against Chelsea, 4 against Liverpool. Admittedly, those two clubs, you know, are big sides, but you'd argue that Southampton are probably in equally good form as Liverpool are. Maybe not quite as you know, good a team as Chelsea, obviously, but the fact they've conceded 17, only scored 10, and the two goal scorers have gone. Don't see Gomes really replacing any of them. He's brought in Nelson Oliveira. Big ask for him to go straight into this team and hit the ground running. Although they always seem to, Swansea, to be fair. They always seem to. They're a bit like Southampton. They lose players, and then they just seem to replace them with someone who's decent as well. But Bonny is a big ask to replace. Kyle Norton's gone there as well, of course, and still looking to do business in the window. So bear that in mind in case they happen to sign anyone between now and when this game kicks off on Sunday afternoon. I can't see them handling Southampton very well, though. I mean, you know, look at what I keep saying to people, they won't finish in the top four. They're still third on 42 points. They've got the joint highest goal record at home with Chelsea. They've got the second best defensive record at home, just behind Chelsea. They've conceded 7 goals in 11 games. When they were in that horrible patch, they conceded 5 to Manchester City and Manchester United. So they've conceded 2 goals in 9 other games at home. Great record. Don't see Swansea troubling that. I'm going Southampton minus a goal here at 17-10.
Okay.
I could see them winning 2-0, to be fair, so it doesn't have to be anything outlandish. And that'd probably be my nap. No one else wants this game.
No, that would be that's fine by me. 6-1, Southampton 2-0. Would you have wanted Swansea as your nap?
Well,
Derek?
it was in the running, but yeah, definitely in the mix.
I've got a few, so we'll fight it out at the end.
All right then, all right, fight.
Southampton minus one for Lee at
the fact that last
17-10.
Last week, I think you were very magnanimous and said, "Oh no, let Lee have the Bournemouth one."
He's,
I'll go for Palace 5-1.
That's right. Yeah,
it's great. I love listening back to that.
Now for the non-televised matches this weekend, all these 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. We'll start with Manchester United 4-11 against Leicester City, who are 9-1. The draw is in the market at 7-2. Lee, there's bound to be a lot of talk about the reverse fixture in the lead up to this match. 5-3 to Leicester City in that reverse fixture back at the King Power. Definitely the highlight of Leicester's season so far, given that they are now rooted to the bottom of the table. They've been a little bit more solid defensively in recent weeks, under Nigel Pearson. And yeah. I suppose he's hoping that FA Cup form will be a catalyst for things to come in the league.
Yes, yeah,
you'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a traditional manager, and I think he would believe in that. He's got a good cup pedigree. I thought he might weaken down, but to be fair, they went strong. We missed that stat about Joao, a great stat that he scored in every single FA Cup game that he's played in.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great for Brighton and Leicester, of course. Brad, who's we've mentioned him before, Bradley, who's the pitch announcer at Leicester and does a lot of the interviews and everything. He you know, he's been pretty keen on them recently. He's actually had a bet on them to win the FA Cup.
Bet them to go down and win the FA Cup now.
Yeah, do a Wigan. Yeah. I think hopefully he's taken that each way for them to get to the final. But I mean, you know, if you look back at the previous finals of the FA Cup these days, then it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world. But on this game, I can see Man United scoring the same number that they scored in that 5-3 defeat. I can't see Leicester scoring five, obviously. I can see Leicester nicking one, though. I mean, their goal tally has been poor, but five goals in the last three away games at Tottenham, Hull and Liverpool. So if they can get one at Man U, I think Man U will get stuck in here. Players always say that revenge doesn't come into their minds. I think there might be a little bit of that in this one. 5-3 is a humiliation, isn't it? That was the game when, do you remember, like, Di Maria and Herrera both scored fantastic goals, didn't they? Yeah. And everyone forgot about them because they got hammered in the end by Leicester. I'm looking at Man United and both teams to score at 21-10. The other one is Man United to win and four or more goals in the match, but that's a shorter price, so I'll go for that one. Man United to win and both teams to score at 21-10. I can see a 3-1.
I'm exactly the opposite.
Well, you think Leicester can get some out of it?
No, I think it's going to be under. I think under 2.5 goals is an absolutely fantastic bet in this match.
Right. Second highest score in the Premier League.
Man United's last six games have been under the 2.5. I just think you looked at that game against Cambridge, Derek. They didn't.
Wasn't Old Trafford, though, was it?
No, but they just lacked imagination going
forward.
Different
Old Trafford.
Maybe so. I just think they might have trouble breaking Leicester City down. I don't know what more there is to say about Manchester United. And you mentioned Ander Herrera there, Lee. What's happened to him, Derek? Fifth most expensive signing ever for Manchester United, and not started a game since the 2nd of December.
The signings have been terrible, haven't they? The team. I mean, you look at it on paper. That the side he can send out, Van Flatface, and they're performing like Hull. It's just, and I can't believe he's escaping all the flack. No one lays a finger on him. And he's
big lad, though, isn't he?
He looks like a thumb. That's what you know.
I can't have that, Derek. Because no one looks like a thumb more than Michael Van Gerwen. So when you say the darts, when you say he looks like a thumb, all I see in my head is Michael Van Gerwen. He literally is a thumb on legs.
I can't.
That actually reminds me of it. As soon as you crowbar the joke in, he's got like, I remember one darts tournament he had they show pictures of the wives.
Yeah.
They showed a picture of his wife who, I mean, I'm not sure what she saw in the millionaire darts player, but he showed a picture of her and I tweeted that she was very attractive and obviously under the thumb.
Yeah. In fact, talking of which, did you see the tennis yesterday, the Murray game,
yes.
And they showed that split screen of the two birds in the in the box, and Murray's missus go, he smiles, oh sake, you know. Yeah. And Murray did the same. When he saw bird in his bed, what a corker.
Oh yeah. Brilliant.
That was great, wasn't it? That Kim Sears Vine that's doing the rounds now as well.
What's that? What is it?
The Kim Sears Vine, you know, when she's when Murray wins the set against Burdick,
right,
She mutters under her breath what that Czech guy can go and do.
Yeah, he's got away with word.
Yeah.
Going back to this game, you know, United have failed to cover a one-goal handicap in I think they've only done it four times this season in 11 home games, and you can get almost evens about Leicester with a two-goal start here. And when you look at their recent record, they're not getting pulverised. They've won four games out of six in all competitions in the run. I just don't see them getting pulverised, not by this team anyway, United. That result last week against Tottenham was unbelievable. That followed a 3-0... That followed a decent result against Villa, Newcastle, 2-2 at Liverpool. They're playing well. I'm going for them 8-11 with a two-goal start, Leicester.
Okay, 8-11 plus two, Leicester.
One other thing, I mentioned about the goals at home. 22 goals they've scored at home. 13 of them have come in the first half.
Okay.
Which I like those over, you know, And I wouldn't be surprised if Leicester scored in the first half either, if it's that kind of game. So you can back how many goals you'll get in the first half. Over 1.5 goals in the first half. I was thinking, yeah, like this, I'm on this. 6-4?
Yeah.
Six to four?
I think it is important for Manchester United to get that breakthrough early, because I think the fans might... I think they'll turn quickly if it's 0-0 at half time and they're struggling to break Leicester City down. That it could be a real struggle, I think. Let's move on to Liverpool versus West Ham. Good game this one, Saturday 3 p.m. Liverpool 7-10, the draw 12-5, West Ham 9-2, and Daniel Sturridge could be back for Liverpool, Derek, which would be a big boost. Needless to say, it's imperative that he stays fit for the rest of the season. Gallant display midweek in defeat against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Brendan Rodgers might be a bit annoyed because his substitutions in that match had the opposite of effects from their intention, really, Derek. It went all wrong when he made the subs.
Well, as soon as you put Balotelli on, it was curtains. I mean, it was. As soon as he came on, I thought, we've lost this game. There's no way we're going through. I just do not understand the fixation with the guy. He's just not up to it. But I've said it many times, so I'm not telling you anything new there. But that apart, I thought Liverpool were impressive again, just as they were in the first leg against Chelsea. But let's not forget they had a home game against Bolton sandwiched in between that. Couldn't score past them. You know, it's one goal in their last three and a half games, really, if you count the extra time. It's not looking good for them up front, and I can't believe Sturridge he only resumes serious training earlier this week, so I can't imagine he'd be in this one. West Ham beat Liverpool 3-1 earlier in the season. They always pose a threat of dead balls, we know that, and that's Liverpool's Achilles heel. And there's no, you know, 90 minutes away at Chelsea, sorry, 120 minutes away at Chelsea, there's no preparation for this. There's going to be an upset on the Cooper this week. It'll be, well, it wouldn't be that much of an upset to me. I'm going to go for West Ham here.
9-2, West Ham. Amazing stat in the build-up to this game. I think this is the stat of the week. West Ham have not won away in the league at Anfield since 1963. That's 41 games. They've lost 30 of them and drawn 11. That's phenomenal, that.
You know, I've seen a lot of those games. I always seem to, you know, I remember one game when West Ham came a few years ago, and two West Ham mates came from London to watch the game, and Liverpool won 3-0, and West Ham, it was probably the worst Premier League performance I'd ever seen. They just went out and didn't try a leg. It was like, oh, we've lost this anyway. It was awful. It was like an exhibition game. But they're a bit different now, aren't they, West Ham? I remember, that same game, one of the greatest chants I've heard at a football match. It was West Ham, from West Ham fans. We've got the Canio, you've got our stereo. tremendous.
My favourite football chant, and I need your help with this a little bit, guys. You just give it a little bit of gusto. It's this. Give me a T.
T.
Give me an I.
I.
Give me a T.
T.
Give me an S.
S.
What have you got? What do you do? Oldham!
I like that one better than the Canio one.
I'm not sure if we can leave it in now. After all that,
no, you
can. A rude word.
We'll see. Liverpool West Ham then, Lee.
Yeah, I'm a lot more impressed by Liverpool than Derek is. I mean, I agree that, you know, maybe the lack of strikers is an issue, but at the other end, I think they've been much better, much tighter at home. The clean sheets are starting to come in, aren't they? Only one goal conceded in the last five, not including the extra. I'm talking 90 minutes. Obviously, they conceded to Chelsea, didn't they? But in 90-minute matches, only that one penalty conceded to Chelsea. Hammers, you know, they've only won one game away from home in five now. That was against Bristol City. I can see a very professional, controlled performance here from Liverpool. The players really seem to have finally kind of, you know, started to believe in themselves this season, and that kind of new formation looks to be working pretty well. I'm going for, I very rarely get put this bet up. I'm going for Liverpool to win 2-0 at 9-5.
Okay. Wow. Do you think Andy Carroll won? Do you think he'll cause some problems?
I'm sure he will, but yeah. I'm not going to start becoming an Andy Carroll is a prolific goal scorer fan all of a sudden. I mean, if you like him, 19-10 looks a good price, to be fair. But they just seem a bit, as Derek said, they do seem inhibited against the better side still, I think. And that away form isn't quite as good as what they've been showing earlier on in the season. I like how Liverpool have just kind of almost wrapped teams up. They control the pace of the game, and I think that's been really impressive.
9-5, Liverpool to win 2-0. West Brom Tottenham. West Brom 9-5. The draw 21-10. Tottenham 13-8. Betting's interesting here, Lee, because all the support has been behind West Brom, really, in the build up to this match from a betting perspective. They've turned their form around a little as well. Unbeaten in five now. Victor Anichebe and Saido Berahino in the goals as well.
And they love it, don't they? Don't they love scoring goals?
They love scoring, too? Especially for West Brom.
I love that. Did you see the Boaz Myhill broken finger last week? Did you see that, guys?
No.
Oh, yeah, he went in for a challenge with... I can't remember who it was now, but he went in for a challenge, but he came racing out. Helped pick the attacker up off the floor because they really clashed each other.
Okay.
It was kind of laughing and he helped him up all jovial. Then the next picture, his gloves off, his finger is bent in half, pouring with blood. I mean, it's very broken, right? And he's still laughing. He's like, fine. God. And someone tweeted saying, it comes to something when Boaz Myhill's more happy breaking his finger than Victor Anichebe is at scoring a goal. Those two, like him and Berahino, they can't smile. They're just too cool for school, aren't they? They score a goal and it's like, whatever.
Saido Berahino can be like that, but Victor Anichebe, I think he's got to celebrate every goal he scores.
Exactly.
In all honesty.
I know. I completely agree, but doesn't seem to be in his makeup. But I mean, I think those two could be key here. Pulis is obviously well known for kind of being very, very cautious. I wonder if he'll maybe see an opportunity here with Tottenham having won through to the League Cup final. Maybe they've had a little bit of a celebration. Obviously, a bit of a longer night heading up to Sheffield and back on the Wednesday. I've got a feeling Pulis might go for this. And if he does, I think we'll see a really attractive game. Two really, obviously really good English strikers on the pitch, Berahino and Kane, both subject to the headline offers, aren't they, as well?
Yeah.
Interestingly, they're both the same price as well, the headline offers. Berahino to score and West Brom to win 4-1, and Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win the same price. I'm not sure about the win. I mean, I think I would side with Tottenham because I think it's actually a decent price for Tottenham away at this West Brom team. But I'm going to go for if what I've said happens, I'm going to go for quite a few goals in this match.
Okay.
I'm going to go for over 3.5 goals at 3-1. I could see it being really entertaining.
Derek?
Tottenham 13-8. I've changed my mind about that earlier bet, about the better the Swansea one. It's going to be Tottenham. I think 13-8 is a massive price. We used to be getting 10-11 Tottenham in these kind of games. I know that West Brom have turned their form around a little, but look at the standard of opposition they've been meeting recently. It ain't been that great. Gateshead, Hull, Everton, Birmingham. Tottenham a different kettle of fish. And they look a proper team now, Tottenham. Wouldn't surprise me if they went behind and then won, because that seems to be their MO. But 13-8, is it 13-8?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. I really don't understand the price.
No.
I mean, it seems massive, doesn't it? I mean, what they must be thinking, well, A, the Pulis effect is huge, and B, that they have maybe been partying. But they weren't been partying. They've had a few... I don't know.
No, you haven't partying to get to the Carling Cup final.
You wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't do that, would you?
No, there's a possibility maybe that Tottenham have been underpriced in the in the market previously as well.
That Derek just mentioned, they come from behind and win Tottenham 9-1. Derek.
Yeah, it looks
2-1. They win everything 2-1. Don't they?
Yeah, Eriksen in the last 5 minutes. Mm. Yeah.
He's a player as well. If only had a bit more consistency about him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a great player though.
He's an Eden Hazard type, isn't he? Mm. Yeah, like him.
Sunderland Burnley next up. Sunderland 5-4, the draw 21-10, and Burnley 12-5. Derek, you are up here. Only one goal separates these two sides. Yeah. Tough match to call, isn't it? I think Burnley have maybe got more spirit than Sunderland, and Sunderland not won in the league since before Christmas.
Well, you wouldn't be back in Sunderland.
No,
it
takes a lot of trust at 5-4, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a draw or Burnley, isn't it, for me? Probably the draw, given that out the amount of games Sunderland draw. And the distress signal Gus Poyet is sending out. You know, it's not like, get behind us, lads, we'll get better. It's basically saying, well, this is as good or as bad as we are. It ain't going to get any better unless there's reinforcements. It's not, something's not quite right there. They've won one game at home in 11. And a 5-4 to beat a Burnley side who are capable of going anywhere and anywhere, aren't they? You know, some of the results they've had. Burnley have only won one away. So that, it looks all over the draw. It was 0-0 the reverse fixture. I can easily see it being 0-0 again.
Okay, going with the draw, 21-10. If you do fancy 0-0, that's 15-2. Lee?
Yeah, Stoke are the common denominator, aren't they? That solitary home win for Sunderland was Stoke, and the solitary away win for Burnley was Stoke, which they must be chuffed to bits about that. Those draws, I mean, I keep looking at it, and 11 draws, three more than anyone else in the division.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I mean, they could have, in those 11 games, they could have won four and lost seven of them and still have the same amount and have one more point. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, the reason they're not converting those draws into wins is because they haven't got the goals either. You know, they're very, very goal shy, I think, Sunderland. Obviously, that's why they've bought Jermaine Defoe. Changed the formation slightly as well to try and accommodate him. So it'll be interesting to see when, if he hits the ground running. You know, I've always liked him as a player. You know, he's not top level, is he? But he's, you know, if you get the ball to him and give him chances, he's always likely to give you some goals. I'm not sure it'll come in this match, though. I see this being a very cautious match, to be honest with you. I think Burnley would take a point at the draw specialist, Sunderland. So I think if they lose this, if Sunderland lost this game, that could be catastrophic for them.
Yeah.
And for Poyer. They could go into the bottom three if that happens, if results go against them. So I think fear uppermost. I agree with Eric. The draw and under 2.5 goals, maybe? 0-0 or 1-1?
Yeah, that looks the better way to play.
Crystal Palace, Everton next. Crystal Palace in the market at 17-10. Draw 21-10. Everton in the betting at 17-10. And we've got two teams here, Lee, that are trending in different directions, really.
Yeah.
Everton without a win since mid-December in all competitions, while Crystal Palace have won their last four. In addition to that, Everton have also lost five straight away from home in the league as well. These two teams right next to each other in the league now, which is incredible.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing how bad this Everton season is, isn't it? I mean, 23 points they've got. I mean, you know, every weekend I think to myself, if results go against them, they're still right down there.
Yeah.
You know, they're not doing much at the minute. I think he's tried to take them back to basics.
I don't think those big players are performing.
No.
We hear loads about Ross Barkley in the summer, how he's going to be the next big star, and he produces one sublime performance in 10, and that's the problem.
Yeah. I think there's just a lack of confidence. He's gone, obviously, like I say, I think he's gone back to basics and tightened the defence up, which is good. But then that seems to have blunted the attack as well. Three goals in the last five games. And the opposite's true of Palace, isn't it? I mean, since Pardew's come in, they've got a new lease of life. I think they've been, you know, they've been playing well. They've been involved in exciting games. 12 goals since he joined. They've signed Sola Amiobi this week, haven't they? I know he's not a prolific striker, but obviously he knows him well. Ron always used to say that you never make a mistake with a player that you've had before. More impressively, I think, is the signing of Jordan Mutch from QPR. Didn't do as well as I expected at QPR, but then, you know, playing in a team lacking in confidence. I really rated him in the season before last. Goal-scoring midfielder. So I think that looks like a really nice signing. He was at Cardiff, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Put him up a couple of times for bets, didn't you, Derek?
Yeah, he's a good. Yeah, he's always a threat, isn't he?
Yeah, scored 7 in 35 the season before last. So 1 in 5, you know, it's not bad for a midfielder. I think Palace will go for it as well. I think it's going to be another high scorer. I think Everton will be dragged into a game here. I think they'll sit back and try and use their wingers and their pace to attack Crystal Palace. I'm just not. You'd have to go with Palace winning this, wouldn't you? Really on form. There's nothing about Everton that makes me want to back them, apart from the price. It's 17-10 for Everton. What if the old Everton turns up? Not sure they will, though. I'll go for Crystal Palace to win the game and both teams to score at 5-1.
Okay.
Well, you know, Palace... Yeah.
And I haven't backed Palace all season long.
That shocks me.
Yeah, four wins and two draws, Palace, in the last six games, right? You know, that's impressive enough.
Yeah.
Five of those games were away from home.
Mm.
You know, they're nobody's fools now, are they? And I don't understand how he's doing it, Pardew, but he is. And Martinez going in the opposite direction. Everton, you're right up to pinpoint Barkley. He is a player believing his own publicity, isn't he? I mean, he's done nothing all season.
It's strange, isn't it, Derek? He has been really poor this time around.
I can't understand why, but I mean, is he playing in a different role? Possibly Baines isn't doing it either. You know, their left flank used to be great. Even the other fullback Coleman, he seems to have gone off. The defence looks ropey. There's something not quite right at Everton, and right now they are definitely a team to oppose. And Palace and a bang informed side. I think the Eagles are the ones to be on here, definitely.
Okay, Crystal Palace to pick at 17-10. Crystal Palace and both teams to score for Lee at 5-1. And we finish off with Stoke. They're in action against QPR on Saturday afternoon. Stoke is 7-10. The draw is 12-5. QPR are 9-2. Awful injury, Derek, for Bojan against Rochdale. That's ruled him out for the season. And given you've been talking throughout the year about them playing a different style of football. It's going to be difficult without him because he's been talismanic in their style of play.
Yeah, he has. He's been sensational. He's the guy that opens, unlocks, you know, opposing defences. And without him, you wonder where the stardust is going to come from for Stoke. You know, we all know about QPR's away record. You know, ten away from home, isn't it? They've lost all 10.
Yeah.
Scored only 5 goals. And it's hard to make a case for them, except the fact that Stoke have lost their key man and QPR have, 5-1? They're not. Come on, QPR are not as bad as 10 straight defeats away from home implies, are they? I mean, we've seen them at home and what they've done to some teams at home. And
I can tell though, Derek, it's paining you into trying to even make an argument for QPR.
Yeah. I can't, can I? Excel. All I can say is that the 5-1, yeah, they're only playing Stoke, who've lost their key man, and they're not that bad a side that's going to lose every single away game this season. I mean, I mentioned earlier on a few weeks ago that Harry Redknapp said the reason they don't win, you know, they don't do so well away from home is they haven't got the pace on the break. And he tried to implement, he tried to inject that when I remember in a game at Everton on a Monday night, and it went pear shaped. So we went back to basics the following few weeks.
Just losing.
Yeah, exactly. you've seen through me here. I know instinctively that Stoke are there to be opposed, but I can't make a case for QPR. But that's never stopped me in the past having a bet on them. So I'm going to go for QPR because I just think Stoke are a very opposed.
9-2 QPR then for Derek Lee.
I think what's staring us in the face will happen here. QPR, as Derek said, you know, 10 straight defeats, and he scored 5 goals away from home all season as well. And they don't half concede goals away from home. QPR. I think without Bojan means that it'll be a tougher ask for Stoke, but I still think they'll get the job done. Might only be a 1 or 2-0. I think QPR. I remember a few weeks ago, I put that argument forward where, you know, QPR were getting closer to getting that point, because you don't go from losing all those games to suddenly going to attack, because that what happens is what happened at Everton. So I think they'll set up for the draw, try and get a point, but I think Stoke will nick it. Stoke aren't great, you know, aren't great goal scorers at home, to be honest. We've said before about the shots on goal is pretty high, but the shots on target is pretty poor. They're not great finishers. 12 in 10 they've scored at the Britannia. So Stoke to win, and under 2.5 goals for me. And I'm going to go for, that's 9-4, so...
Okay. Naps then. Let's finish off with the Naps. Lee, do you want to lead us off here?
Yeah, I'll go for that Southampton -1 at 17-10. I like that.
There's the treble gone already.
Southampton -1 in the match, which is 17-10.
I wouldn't be surprised if they beat them helpfully.
Really?
Honestly, I think they might give them a bit of a towsing.
Derek?
I'm going to go for, I mean, you know, I can't have 3-1s and 5-1s every week, lads. I've just got to play a little bit.
Oh, I can't believe he's going to go for a 4-10 or something like that now.
No, 13-8, Tottenham to win at West Brom.
That's fine.
Okay, Tottenham to win at West Brom at 13-8. I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals in the Manchester United match.
Oh, there's always a Ponzi one, isn't there?
Sorry.
It's not that.
You learnt your lesson last week by going for, last week you went for a League One goal scorer. He knows nothing about League One.
I know. I know a little bit more about Premier League football, admittedly, but it's 13-10 under 2.5. Like that a lot. 4-7 for over 2.5 goals in a game where Manchester United just can't break teams down, as far as I'm concerned. It's gone 5-4 now, so I'll put that in.
22 goals have scored at home this season.
Yeah,
it's averaging 2 a game.
I'll go for that. So the treble is 14.94-1. Shorter than our losing trebles in previous weeks, chaps. But Southampton -1, 17-10. Tottenham to beat West Brom at 13-8. Under 2.5 goals in the Manchester United-Leicester game at 5-4.
I've forgotten the guy's name, but a guy on Twitter's been playing these as trickses, Derek, and that has to be the wise way forward, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
with these right. kind of prices, you're going to get some money out of it.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
play it as a treble this
no.
week.
Do no, not this week. Tottenham apart, you've got no hope.
Oh, do you want me to do the standings, by the way?
Yeah,
I think,
go on.
I think I worked them out. I'm £10 worse off than I was last week.
I am as well.
That's all that needs to be said. And well, basically, Derek, you're 120 ahead of me and 60 ahead of DK.
So you're only 60 out of Dave.
Yeah,
really. No. He was winning before last week. Remember, so he was.
Winners, he never seems to get one.
it's a fair point.
You're doing all right. All right, to be fair.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Fell.
Thanks, DK.
Thanks to everyone for listening to the Punt Podcast this weekend. Remember, you can download this via iTunes or check us out at audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill and we'll be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.